Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
It's our Monday morning visit with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Dr. Most, good morning to you. I want to start with a question about COVID tests and the BA4 and BA5 strains now predominant. Are the tests still accurate as far as those new strains are concerned?
Yeah, for the most part, most of the home tests are. The FDA has identified two tests that aren't that great, one made by a company, Meridian, and one made by Applied DNA Bioscience. But for the most part, the rest of the tests are fine. They're still looking for that spike protein. They're still being able to identify it. So for the most part, they're really still very good, and people should continue to do that so that they can identify if they do have the illness. And just make sure you're doing it at the right time. You know, make sure that you're going to have enough of a viral load to test accurately. And so people who just have that first symptom and may have mild symptoms, I would say wait a day, but be careful and do all the right things around it.
What do we need to know about the latest vaccine that's available to us?
Well, Bob, you know, if you look at what's going on around the country, 25% of this country still has not been vaccinated at all. A good portion of those, we feel, are those who said, hey, you know what, this mRNA vaccine came out too quick. I don't like the way that it was produced as rapidly. And now we have a new vaccine came out from Novavax, which made it in the traditional way. So people who are concerned about that but would get a flu shot, certainly, hopefully, they will get lined up to get the Novavax vaccine, which allows them to use the traditional method. So there's no speed, you know, it was made too quickly. Mm-hmm. But I think it also shows us that, look what would have happened if we had to wait for a traditional vaccine. We'd be getting that about now.
And as far as the way this vaccine works and how much protection you get from it compared to Moderna and Pfizer, what's the difference?
No, it's very good. I mean, it's really good protection, and it's a great vaccine. And the difference is that if you understand what the mRNA did, where we taught the body how to produce something to look for something foreign, what this is, they took portions of the spike protein from COVID, and that's what's in this vaccine. So it's not a live vaccine. They're not injecting COVID into you. They're injecting parts of the virus into you so that the body sees that and makes their immune response. So just like we do with flu, just like we do with influenza, just like we do with most vaccines, we're teaching the body to look for something that's foreign. And so this was done in the traditional way, and certainly should put people at ease if they're concerned about how quickly the other vaccine was made.
Are we any closer to diagnosing long COVID and treating long COVID? And is there a blood test that's coming for that?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the thing that's most fascinating. You know, a study came out last week that showed it was a small number, so it wasn't huge, but certainly very, very interesting that they took a portion, about 50 people who had long COVID, and started looking at their blood and looking at their plasma. What they actually found was portions of the COVID virus still in their bloodstream, saying, wait a second, this should be cleared from your body. The virus is no longer there. So now they're presuming, hey, there's a possibility that those individuals with long COVID have the virus still living in their body, very similar to individuals who have had chickenpox and then go on to get shingles. So now we're looking at it saying, wait a second, is this what's happening? Is this virus still there in a very small place, not causing any other major symptoms, but still causing the effects? Now, if that's the case, two things happen now. One, we might have a blood test to predict, and two, we might now start to look at options of how we can treat long COVID. So watch for this. It's probably going to be coming out here in the next week or two, but it could be extremely interesting and fascinating as we go down this road of what are we going to do with individuals with long COVID.
How important is it to know what subvariant you've got if you get COVID? And then how do you test for that?
Yeah, it's not that important. You know, if you have it, you have it. So They know that the president has BA5 because they went and did the testing. The vast majority of people are not going to know what subvariant they have because they're going to test at home. And we send a portion of all of our tests, as do many hospitals, to the federal government so that we can tell which strain is out there and which strain is the most predominant. So that's important from a public health point of view, but from a personal point of view, you're still going to do all the other things. From the public health point of view, we want to know what variant is out there. Is it still effective with the vaccines we have? And will the treatments work for it? So it's more on the public health side than it is the personal side.
If you have COVID, you're protected from another infection for, well, they used to say 90 days. Is that still true?
No, you know, it's, unfortunately, it doesn't look like it is. You know, this BA4 and BA5 just play by different rules. So certainly, you know, individuals who had COVID, you know, say a month ago, we would have said, or 2 months ago, we would have said, oh, you know what, you're going to be good for the next 60 or 90 days. Then BA5 comes in and says, no, you know what, that's not true anymore. I'm going to be able to reinfect you. So, you know, it's kind of like the common cold. People would say, gosh, I get 3 or 4 colds a year. It's like, well, wait, if you had one, you have protection. Why didn't it? So this strain, unfortunately, kind of BA5 appears to be able to evade the immune response that we built up from vaccines and previous infections. And that's why we're seeing the numbers that we are and the spread that we are, that we don't get as much protection. Certainly the symptoms are much milder, but we're still seeing the spread of the illness.
I read somewhere that an infection now with BA5 would likely protect someone from reinfection by the same subvariant for maybe as long as 3 or 4 months. Is that right?
That's the point right there. What we're talking about is people that had Omicron early, had Delta. You know, those individuals now can get BA5. But if you've had an infection here in the last month, chances are great that you're going to have good protection for the next 2-3 months at least. And we're just presuming that right now, just based on the history of what we've had with BA5 in this short period of time of, what, 4 or 4.5 months around the world.
Northwestern Medicine's Dr. Kevin Most with us on our Monday morning house call. Let's talk a little bit about monkeypox. We're hearing more about it now every day. And we first heard about it expanding rapidly in the gay male community, but I saw a report yesterday that sounded like it has spread beyond that social group. Has it already, Doc?
Well, a little bit, Bob. Not in large numbers. Certainly, it's men who have sex with men is the largest predominant group right now, but we have had a few cases of children who've had it and a few cases of those individuals who came in contact with somebody who had it. So still, that's the concern. That's what we're really looking at. But we have to remember that, you know, we've had monkeypox here in the United States. We had monkeypox in Illinois not too long ago when some animals were infected and infected humans. So certainly that's our focus right now, and that's where we're going to focus our vaccine efforts. But certainly anybody can get it.
And is it possible that the numbers are actually not accurate, that there is a lot of underreporting of monkeypox?
100%. So two reasons for that. One is, you know, if you look at the illness itself, fever, body aches, cough, and then you get this painful rash, and that rash will last for about 4 weeks. So some people don't go to get tested. And we really don't have a lot of testing facilities. So it's not like you can go to your normal hospital and get tested. Those specimens are collected and they're sent into the CDC. So the opportunity to test is very limited. So we're telling people, if you have these symptoms, you can presume that that's what it is. So under testing, the inability to test large numbers is probably going to be two limiting factors as well.
And what's the story on the monkeypox vaccine?
Well, it's interesting, Bob. You know, when you look at it, you know, this is a vaccine that we used to use for smallpox, right? So smallpox was deemed to be eradicated around 1980. So around 19, I want to say the last vaccines we gave were in the early, mid-70s. So anybody born prior to, say, 1970, you've been vaccinated for smallpox. And this is the same vaccine that we're giving for individuals for monkeypox. So there's two vaccines that are out there. And again, it's not like we were making a lot of these vaccines because we had stopped that. So Now we have to get these companies back up and running and back up and doing more vaccines. So the number of vaccinations available are very small. So we're talking about, you know, you know, here where we would get millions of doses of the COVID vaccine, you know, here we're getting thousands instead.
And what, does it take a year to get up to speed with that?
Well, no, they should really be able to ramp up much quickly. You know, you would just hope that the companies that make vaccines often are the same companies that make flu vaccines and make other vaccines. So certainly their production is going to be a little bit limited and hampered. But this is not spreading as fast as COVID. Obviously, you know, we have had, what, about 17,000 cases in the world right now. About 3,000 cases, if I'm not mistaken, in the United States.
Right.
So it's not spreading as fast as it is, as COVID did, mainly because you have to have direct contact to spread this. So with the spread occurring slower, hopefully the vaccine production will be able to catch up.
And what advice would you have for people traveling to the places where there has been more monkeypox than here, Europe, Spain, the UK, Germany?
Yeah, you know, I would say just like, you know, whether you're traveling or whether you're not, you know, just be very careful when you're in close contact with any individuals who have, you know, any rashes that you might notice or, you know, skin lesions. Certainly just be really careful there. You know you came in contact with someone, then the importance is talking to your physician and trying to get one of those vaccines, because we know if that vaccine is given within, you know, the first 4 or 5 days, you can actually totally prevent the illness. And if it's given within the first couple of weeks, you're going to have milder symptoms. And again, you know, this is a 99.5% of people survive this, so this is not something we're concerned about death. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, it's an interesting one, too, because you get exposed. Well, you have an incubation period from anywhere from 5 days to 3 weeks before that rash comes out. So it's kind of a fascinating disease that we haven't seen much of, and we're starting to obviously see much more.
Monkeypox spreads through direct contact and exchange of fluids, mainly or exclusively?
Yes. Now, there have been some cases that they're trying to figure out how this spread. In other words, did it spread because of touching a countertop or touching bedding? So that is one of the concerns, because these lesions that you see are just teeming with the virus. So when the lesions break, there's a lot of virus that's out there that now can live on surfaces for a short period of time and could happen to be touched by someone else. That's probably the concern that they're looking at right now for individuals where they can't say, you were in close contact with this person. So more to be found on this, but certainly nothing I would be rushing out to get vaccinated, but certainly good to be aware of it.
We need a break from new diseases. Maybe next week we'll have that rest period. Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine, thanks.
Appreciate you got it. Take care, Bob. We'll talk soon.